Hi guys, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of Podcast Fridays. Podcast Fridays, but then it's dropping on Saturday, but you'll have to pardon me for today because we took an emergency break, and I'm not certain if we're full on right now, but I just felt I needed to put this out here for a lot of people to understand better why we took that emergency break. So, I am a Nigerian, and over 2 weeks, 3 weeks per se, there have been protests, nationwide protests all over the country. Reason because the Special Anti-Robbery Squad, SARS, has not been living up to its duties. If for anything, it has been acting like a criminal organization in the sense that they themselves are the robbers that they're supposed to be fighting against. Now, what do I mean? They extort young boys, you know, tell them to go to the ATMs. They stop young people that have iPhones, you know, tell them to make transfers to their accounts. They kill innocent civilians. And these are just to mention but a few of the things that this Special Anti-Robbery Squad, the people there, do. And so I think what really triggered the protest was when a SARS official shot someone and drove off with his car, but then someone else was videoing, you know, was making a video, and so the video went viral, and some Nigerian celebrities that were in the forefront, I know of that, was or were Run Town, Fouls the Bad Guy, That's for Larrying, Mr. Macaroni, Savvy Reno, and, you know, just to mention but a few. So they were at the forefront before, you know, this protest started becoming more recognized. You know, more Nigerians felt that they had to throw in their weight, and a lot of people came out with their stories. And it was just, you know, it just had to go nationwide, because every single person, I wouldn't say every single person, but I mean a lot of people in different states have stories to tell. And this Special Anti-Robbery Squad is in all the 36 states, I mean. And so we took a break because we felt at that point it would be insensitive to carry on, in quotes, business as usual, you know, in quotes, living like nothing is happening in the country. And we all wanted to just voice out, be a part of this. I wanted to be a part of it because I'll tell you that shortly, but definitely I wanted to be a part of it. And so this protest that went on nationwide is something that has never been done in Nigeria. You know, it's something that has never ever been done. It took our nation by surprise. People, if you were not going out to protest as a foot soldier, you were an online soldier trying to retweet and tweet for the global community to be aware. If you were not also doing that, there were people that Christians were organizing prayer walks all over the nation, you know, in different parts of the nation, organizing prayer walks and praying for Nigeria. If you were also not at the forefront chanting NSAS, you were helping to pick up dirt that protesters were leaving behind to make sure that, you know, we clean up after ourselves. If you were not doing that, you were donating money and contributing funds to the things that protesters need, like food, placards, medical bills, bills to give to lawyers, or, you know, to bail protesters that were jailed unjustly, and a lot of things. So there were just different ways people could participate, basically, and Nigerian youths were doing just that. So what happened? This protest took a different turn because our wonderful government sponsored hoodlums, you know, to infiltrate this protest, and according to some confessions, paid them 500 naira. I think the person that made the confession said they weren't given the money yet. So someone on Twitter said, I think I'm too serious with this podcast, but that's just because I'm trying to pass a message. So someone from Twitter said they were literally fighting on credits. Like, they promised them 500 naira. That's less than $5. And they were literally fighting on credit because they were not paid yet. And so they found out that the Nigerian youth were united. I mean, Christians were protecting Muslims while they pray on Friday. They were cleaning up after themselves. Everything was going on smoothly. It was a peaceful protest nationwide. And the only thing they could do was to sponsor hoodlums, you know, and then they started telling them that, according to sources, they started telling them that, you know, Christians were trying to take over Nigeria, you know, that sort of thing. So Muslims were fighting, in quote, literally. And so the protest that was peaceful became messy. And to top it up, the defining factor that eventually triggered a lot of people and made this protest go haywire was the Lekki massacre in Lagos, Nigeria. So let me tell you guys what happened. This is me giving you the gist, the sad gist. The governor of Lagos State announced a curfew state-wise, basically, for Lagos State. While people were already out, he announced the curfew on Twitter by, I think, 11 a.m. and said the curfew was supposed to kickstart by 4 p.m. So you announced a curfew on Twitter. How are the market women supposed to know that there is a curfew? How are people supposed to know that there is a curfew? But, oh well, he announced it on Twitter, and then some Nigerians said that they were not going anywhere, that the protests have been peaceful, so they don't see a reason why, you know, there should be a curfew and all of that, because they were demanding change. Let's not forget that the Nigerian government had already sponsored hoodlums, so it made it look like anarchy was going on in the state. The state had to curtail it, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And so 4 p.m., protesters, Lagos protesters were still at Lekki toll gate. And what happened, literally? Around 6 p.m. or thereabouts, some group of people came, took out the lights, took out the cameras, the billboard was shot. So literally, they were in darkness. The Nigerian army was present. And then, to cut the long, gruesome story short, our protesters were unarmed civilians with the national flag singing the national anthem, and the Nigerian army opened fire on them. And so we had questions like, who ordered the Nigerian army to open fire? Why were they shooting at unarmed civilians? What did we do wrong other than demand for SARS to end completely? Let's not forget. Oh, I didn't mention. The IGP came to tell us that they already disbanded SARS, but they already did that like 4 times in history. And so they were telling us on TV that SARS has been disbanded, but not telling SARS officials that they have been disbanded. And so Nigerian youths were not having the slightest time. And so they opened fire on unarmed civilians. where we were able to watch via a popular celebrity's live on Instagram, DJ Switch, we saw what was happening. Lots of blood was shed. Over 50 people lost their lives. We can't even see, because they say the army, soldiers from the army were packing the bodies so as to claim that there were no casualties. They were denying, the Nigerian army literally rounded them, the protesters, off, and they were denying them access to ambulance services and medical services. So the shooting went on, and I think it's a day Nigerians will never forget. 20th of October 2020. And so the next day, the Lagos State governor said the Nigerian flag should be flown half-mast and came on air to tell us that there were no casualties and fatalities, or whatever the English is. But we all saw what we saw, and people recorded, and it was everywhere. So why deny? Why lie? And why say the flag should be flown half-mast if there were no people did not die or lose their lives? Well, there were also shootings in different parts of Nigeria. And I think it was just a sad day, because as a Nigerian youth, it is you seeing your fellow Nigerian youths right there fighting for a change. Because it was transcending beyond NSARS. It was the fact that a lot of things needed to be toppled and turned over with this government. It was the fact that our senators were getting hardship allowances of over 1.something million every single month. With the millions that they get every single month, they are the highest paid politicians all over the world. It's the fact that these people are the highest paid politicians, but yet somehow Nigeria is the poverty capital, in quotes. Is the fact that money is being disbursed for things that the masses never get, like the palliatives that Nigerian youth have been digging out in warehouses all over the country. Is the fact that the system doesn't work. Is the fact that there was a massacre and a president could not address us properly. Could not even address us over 24 hours. Before then, he was MIA. And then he came back to address us after like 48 hours with a recorded video and didn't talk about the massacre and the killings. I think at that point, seeing Nigerian youths as a fellow Nigerian killed, and knowing that the parents of these children will never get to hear their voices again. They died. Nigeria killed them, rather. Nigeria killed their dreams, you know. And a lot of people were asking, who is next? Because the shootings went on the next day and people were in their houses, but stray bullets were getting through their houses. And so it was, I think at that point, I would say it was a very hopeless situation. Nigerians all over were in tears. Nigerians in diaspora. Nigerians here. And the question, the deep question is there truly hope for our children, for the generation unborn? Is there truly hope? And so, it's been a tough week. a lot of people have broken down. A lot of Nigerian youth have been depressed. People have questioned God. People have laughed to just wear out the whole toxicity. People have done whatever they could, literally, to cope. All over the world, the hashtag #EndSARS was being recognized. A lot of our African brothers were standing with us. I mean, Africa is bleeding. Congo is bleeding. South Africa is bleeding. Ghana is bleeding. Ivory Coast is bleeding. Liberia is bleeding. Different issues. And I don't know what to say. I wouldn't lie to you guys. This is me just bearing it out as it is. A lot of people are asking, what next? Will our youths die in vain? A lot of people are saying, get your voters card for 2023. A lot of people are saying, the race to change is not a sprint, I think that's the word, but it's a marathon. But I think it hurts deeply to people who have lost their children and friends from SARS. To people who have boyfriends that died from SARS and girlfriends. To people that have been crippled by fear. To people whose survival instinct might kick and it might change a part of them. To people that are tired of seeing the same oppression over the years. But regardless, I think I'm just gonna send hugs to every Nigerian youth out there. The Nigerian youth, the average Nigerian youth, is well educated. The average Nigerian youth is smart. The average Nigerian youth is hardworking. The average Nigerian youth is funny and humorous. The average Nigerian youth has bad mouth. The average Nigerian youth wants better because we deserve better. Because it's not a crime to demand better. So I'm sending hugs to the people that have lost their friends, to the people that have been affected one way or the other by this pandemic that killed a lot of us, a lot of our youths, more than the COVID-19. To the people whose smiles have cracks. To the people that have been traumatized. To the people that are at the brink of losing hope. To all of you that want to japa, I'm sending hugs to each and every one of you. And I'm sending pecks to on your left, on your right. And I'm saying, Nigeria will rise. We will smile again. Nations will come to us. We will tell our children the story of how the labor of our heroes past were not in vain. We will shine and take our proper fitted position as the giant of Africa. We will lead, we will rule, we will conquer. we will stand firm. And we will be a nation to be reckoned with all over the world. So guys, don't lose heart. Cheer up. Brace up. I love every single person that is going to listen to this. And I pray the good Lord strengthens. We might not see it now, but I know that we are building the blocks. We might not be there now, but we are building the blocks and we are getting there. So till I see you next time, I remain your host, Lois Tarika Bor. Bye for now, guys. Love you lots.